Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Melanology Hour with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pogrom, MD, and biomedical researcher, physiological psychologist, and professor, Dr. Timothy Owens Moore. Join them each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.net.
Welcome, everyone, and how are you? Welcome to the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, dedicated to broadcasting the sciences of life and living, hosted on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, this is our last Wednesday of the month, and as usual, we're talking about that fabulous life-promoting, life-invigorating substance, the physical, biological, ever-changing manifestation of the electromagnetic spectrum known as melanin. And as usual, we have with us Dr. Tim Owens Moore, a fabulous expert and world-renowned for this area of human research, human research. And hi, Dr. Moore. Welcome. How are you?
Greetings, Dr. Jewel. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm glad to be back.
Well, good. And, of course, you're always traveling and doing some wonderful things. So did you have anything exciting go on? I understand you were out of the country again.
Yes, I got a chance to attend a conference in Puerto Rico called the Negritude Conference. And Negritude, with the E on it, is the French term for black consciousness. But in Puerto Rico, it's Spanish-speaking, so they took the E off and they related to their issue of black consciousness. So it was just a beautiful experience to be in an environment where people spoke different languages, but talking the same themes about the issue of the beauty of blackness and nothing about melanin, but of course it's going to come into play when you speak about African people or pigmented people throughout the planet. So it was a very exciting experience.
Wonderful. Well, that sounds really interesting. Negritude. Say it again, how you said it?
Well, they call it Negritude. Amy Cesar, Leopold Singer. Amy Cesar is from Martinique, French-speaking colony. And then Leopold Singer is from Senegal. He influenced, you know, people like Diop, Cheikh Diop. So you have these French-speaking scholars that were pushing the same things we were doing here in the 60s, dealing with black consciousness. So Negritude was what they called black consciousness in the French perspective.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Negritude, huh?
Yes.
Exciting. Well, you know, Dr. Moore, of course, when I can catch you, you're always so busy. You know, I posed some concepts to you just recently, and I thought it'd be interesting for us to talk about it. I've been reading many different versions of what we can expect here from 2012 up to 2017. And, you know, there's so much information now talking about extraterrestrial interaction, multidimensional realities, as well as multiple Earths and multiple lives that we're living based on the fact that it's become very clear in the world of quantum physics that we at least have a mirror image of ourselves. Some authors are saying that for every spectrum of light, we have literally an entire life that we're living, and we have our reality and consciousness very much a part of that reality also. So we are dealing with at least two lives to seven, depending on who you're reading. And, of course, you and I know that this was also indicated and drawn in the hieroglyphs in Egypt, and some of the text were translated to infer the same phenomena. So in my mind, I've concluded that melanin literally is the biological manifestation of the electromagnetic spectrum, and new information has come about stating that the ultimate controlling factor of the genes is not environment, whether it be intrinsic within our bodies or externally, but that our states of consciousness are continuously determining which genes will be turned on and to what degree, and which genes will be shut down and for what length of time. And I wanted to share that information with you and get your feedback on it with the audience, because that leads to a whole new inference on what we're really seeing amongst ourselves when we look at each other, that we're really not seeing what has been literally called race qualities, that is, that there are groups of people that have distinct DNA that other groups do not have. But what we're seeing are collective mindsets that have decided to perceive themselves in particular ways and therefore have activated or deactivated certain genes to allow that collective consciousness to have a synonymous physical expression, which means then that if we all have the same genes, and some authors are saying that at the level of our comprehension and with the small amount of genes that we see that are active, you know, 40 to 50,000, as opposed to the large number of junk genes that are inactive, that this level of genetic activity is universal, and there's really no difference in the genes that we are using, which means that we all are using the same genes, but obviously we don't look like we're using them. So is it really true that it is the collective consciousness of groups of individuals that have, based on their thoughts, have collectively stimulated the DNA to allow the body to reflect what they believe about themselves? And if so, that's amazing that, you know, we can have people that have literally collectively decided to repress the TYR gene, which is, as you know, our gene that makes tyrosinase, so that melanin production is of adequate and significant quantities is available in the cell, so that these individuals literally appear to have almost transparent, thin, or very pale skin without much hue to it. And we have groups of people who are maybe blue-black, you know, that they are definitely producing an abundant amount of melanin, but it's a decision subconsciously that was made to trigger the genes to take on this level of activity. Now, maybe you can tell us more about this too, but I gleaned some information where they were talking about there is a subconscious language that directly controls gene activity, and that that was one of the problems with modern humans, is that we have lost this capacity to know this natural language to communicate with our DNA and also the overlay of artificial language has also helped to repress this intuitive state of knowingness. Now, what do you think about that? Because I'm just amazed at all these new theories that are coming up.
Well, I always express and say to the audience and say to you that you're always at the cutting edge of this kind of thinking, because some people would say, you know, if you can't touch that kind of experience, you can't see it, that can't really exist. So living in a society, this Western society, you know, the mindset of people is to, I guess the frame of reference for knowing things, if you can't count it, you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. So you're now tapping into some issues dealing with consciousness, which is something that you can't tangibly see and touch, but you feel and you know it exists. So you are proposing questions really that are stimulating scientists to even ask about the issue of genes and us turning on and turning off genes. And we know that can happen biologically. That's there. You know, in the past, our ancestors lived for the afterlife. They didn't live for the day right now. Like right now, we run around trying to get a dollar, get some money, and think that's life. That's why people are so upset, running chasing material, right? But if you live for another existence, another experience, that means your whole consciousness is different. You know, we have radio and TV now. It wasn't radio and TV in the past when they built and created civilizations, the first civilizations. They were tuning into themselves, tuning into humanity, tuning into what? The universe. So if the mind is the creation of everything, what is the mind but consciousness? So how do you turn on and turn off consciousness? So you're raising questions that are difficult for people to conceptualize and touch. But as we deal with it on the Melanology Hour, I think that we break down the science to say how this comes into a real situation in terms of what's going on in our brains. So you've heard of the Dogon people in West Mali?
Of course.
So the Dogon knew about a star system in the sky. They knew about this star system that had this 50-year elliptical cycle. And the system was like 51 trillion miles away from the Earth. Like 8.7 light years away from the Earth. So it's like, how are they going to know this? What kind of conscience could they have? Well, I thought this was pretty deep because there's a book written by Griot and Dieterlin, two French anthropologists who studied the Black Mali people, and they called this book The Pale Fox. And they have some deep stuff in here related to their conceptualizations, but it just sounds like DNA as you're trying to break it down for us. Can I read a quick passage from the book to explain to you that they were on top of what you're talking about now, and now we're trying to visualize this. This is on part of the introduction where they deal with breaking down the Dogon philosophy. It says, in those representations associated with crafts, and especially in the basic crafts of the Dogon, the present world is conceived as having come out of a first seed formed by God, this being Jitataria Exilis, the Phonia. It contains the essence of creation, including the four basic elements, air, earth, water, and fire, and the word of the Creator. And we know there's many religious texts that talk about, in the beginning was what? The word. The word was what? With God. What is the word? What a manifestation coming from you in your mind. So here they are breaking down their philosophy on life and now talking about science. Check this out. It goes on to say, that is to say, life manifesting itself within, in the form of eight segments animated by a motion that is both vibratory and spiraling.
Yep.
I got to repeat that one again. Manifesting itself within the form of eight segments animated by a motion that is both vibratory and spiraling. Now, this is way before Watson and Crick, they say, found about the DNA molecule. But that's exactly what they're talking about.
Exactly.
When they say the eight basic principles, and these four bodies, it says it is also endowed with eight basic spiritual principles, four of body and four of sex. And what is it for the DNA molecule? Adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. Right? Those four basic pairs. And this twist of the ladder is this vibratory spiraling motion that they were talking about in ancient Africa before we knew about the so-called double helix coming from the Europeans' way of counting and measuring DNA. So all I'm saying to you is you're on target because here we have these ancient scholars who were studying consciousness and the mind and the manifestation of the world around them. Because they had a real simplistic life. You ever see there in West Molly? There ain't much going on there. You know, a real simplistic life, but what an extraordinary mindset to conceptualize the things we're talking about today.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things I've always perceived is that all of these electronics and tectonics that are interacting with the electromagnetic spectrum, so whether it's the telephone or the TV or the microwave or the cell phone or the iPad, et cetera, they all are attributes of melanin, and that they appear to actually select a particular quality of the melanin biopolymer. It's amplified, and then literally it's enhanced and becomes a mirror reflection of what melanin does. But for what reason, I'm still investigating to discover, is that we cannot intrinsically, or should I say not until recently, we lost the ability, and that's the key. This was normal, what I call higher sensory perception, HSP, these capabilities that these electronics impart to us were an intrinsic aspect of our nervous system. And some historical events occurred, et cetera, and then this was literally destroyed within the nature of humanity. And over time, as there was regeneration of the nervous system, and a recognition of these potentials, the orientation was such that instead of developing a means to expand this capacity within ourselves, we struggled with matter to assimilate it, to form it and shape it, to reflect what it is we thought was a strong possibility of what we could be and know. And we've continued to do that with the first, you know, radio and the telephone and with the light bulb, all of these things. And so now we have little iPads, and they're wonderful, but they still literally are excrescences of the melanin biopolymer. So we have melanin surrounding us in our environment in these electronic enhancers in our environment, but still in all, we have not recognized that these are natural attributes of melanin. And as you have written, and so if I have studied, and many of the other premier scientists in this field, the work itself still remains almost dormant.
Right.
And I think that's very interesting that, you know, bits and pieces of the capability of our own melanin are being sold to us every day at very interesting prices, but yet and still there's no procedures collectively that are literally being broadcasted to assist each and every one of us to reactivate this potential in our own brain and in our own nervous system. And it's very interesting, and I want you to comment on that, that the boost, okay, and the frontier to create these excrescences of melanin have been created by individuals who have diminished the activity of their TYR gene. So was this a, you know, subconscious motivation to recapture these lost capabilities, but again, not having the capacity to literally see the full picture because of the limited amount of melanin that is in the cells, that they were able to create a replica of what was perceived to be this intrinsic capability, because, you know, now we have individuals, you know, it has nothing to do with melanin production, that can remote view. Well, we know that in Egypt that, you know, the winged pharaohs, that was one of the signatures, that that pharaoh had full capacity to send his consciousness anywhere. So, therefore, you know, if he had 33 provinces that he had to monitor and to meet with the governors of those provinces, he could easily do that, but yet still the body would remain in the pharaohic temple and could be able to come back and repeat all the information to the scribes that was needed to be able to manage his dominion. So I just would like for you to comment on that. I'm sitting here looking in your book, and I'm looking, you have a lot of books out, The Science of Melanin, the second edition, and I'm sitting here looking at your description of Ra, which is literally the full electromagnetic spectrum. However, in our reality, we are still not recognizing as part of us the entire spectrum. We are only accepting, by your diagram, the very small band of the spectrum,
visible
light. Yet and still, all this light that's in the universe, as you've indicated, and we are aware of these other frequencies, but have decided, for whatever reason, that it's only the full spectrum that we choose to interact with, which our ancestors did not limit themselves to that. That's how the Dogons were able to draw the cycles of Sirius B, Sirius A, et cetera, all on their houses, on their clothing, et cetera, because their nervous system was not limited to interacting in consciousness with other frequencies of light, and therefore the longer wavelengths, okay, that could be perceived from other star systems, radio waves, et cetera, cosmic waves, which now we have telescopes and satellites to perceive them, they were able to do this directly through their skin. Is that correct?
Yes, because the skin is nothing but a receptive organ for the, you know, senses that are in our environment. Some people are more sensitive than others in terms of their skin. Skin is the largest organ in the body. And the brain
also,
is the...
Yeah, it's also a brain, right? That's where it originates.
Because it creates some of the same chemicals that the brain creates. You know, so as you talked about us or the shutting down of certain mechanisms or the way that the brain operates, I think that's a very important concept to think about, because in current-day technology and studying the brain, there is something called gene knockout experiments. And this has been since the mid-1990s that they've kind of specialized in making animals that have genes that are knocked out. Do you know how they do that? They create they biochemically alter the system. They can kind of like make a mutation. Now that's in the laboratory. So if you have a gene knockout experiment where you want to knock out a receptor, let's say for a chemical like dopamine, so the receptor for dopamine is not there in the brain, guess what? You take cocaine, you don't get addicted. So science has done that. Now, if you can do that in science, does that mean you can actually knock out your own genes through what? Not using your consciousness properly?
Of course. That's the key. That is the exact key that I'm sitting here looking at and twirling around in my hand.
That's why I said you are a master of the universe. You keep on bringing these new technologies to the people to let them know. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, but it's critical at this time because, you know, if we have moved into a different location in space and in our own solar system, where now we are definitely receiving much, much higher concentrations of light, especially gamma rays, X-rays, infrared, ultraviolet blue. Our microtubule system, our cable system, is not fully developed, as well as the melanin capabilities to handle this, because of what I call a near gene knockout because of our states of consciousness and how we have attacked in consciousness the TYR gene on chromosome number 11. You know, as I sit here and, you know, I look at all of this information that's still being released about, you know, the young gentleman who was assassinated over a month ago by some individual who we still really don't understand his relationship with the community and anything else. But I think it's very interesting that our inability to understand that what appears to be a difference in his amount of melanin production and how people are treated, et cetera, is a serious, serious representation that this kind of hate and this kind of divisionary perception would definitely attack the TYR gene. I mean, if you can just imagine that here you are, a TYR gene, and you are to basically assimilate this biological manifestation of light in the cells, which the body itself is made out of all spectrums of light, and it is your responsibility to make sure that that is supplemented and literally right in the cell in its physical form. And you are being spoken to continuously by individuals who are then feeling that their environment is dangerous if they happen to have melanin and then have male genitalia, that the environment is threatening to one's family if they happen to be melanated but have female genitalia. And it just goes on and on as this gene is sitting there listening to all these conversations and to all this thought, that it literally is in a flux. And most likely, depending upon the consciousness of the individual, definitely is not allowed to perform relative to the indications and the specifications that the body is requesting relative to the fact that the melanin literally is renewing, recharging, and regenerating all the systems of the body. Can you perceive that, that you're sitting there overhearing all of this? This is all chemically communicated to you from the neurons of the brain in the form of neuropeptides released into the bloodstream and have attached themselves to the cell, have now entered the intracellular space, and this gene is being totally doused with all of these different chemicals that it has to deal with. I'm surprised that in all of us who have really taken a position, which means that you've locked into a reality about this event, what effects it is going to have on that TYR gene that is going to definitely affect your capacity to interact with all of this light that you are literally being bombarded with. So people are talking about, you know, this planet is getting hotter and we're having issues with the water, whatever else, et cetera. What is it going to take for human beings to recognize that the more we get into issues and controversies about the effect that melanin plays in our life in a social, political, economic manner, that all of this literally can very well shut down its production? And if that happens, you know that auto combustion is going to be a commonplace experience, because there's no way that these individuals are going to be able to handle all of this light and to sustain a microtubule system that is totally cumbered in melanin to be able to transmit and to is it transduce? Is that what it does, melanin?
Yes.
So because it absorbs the excess so that the cells don't burn.
It transduces, but it's a semiconductor to make sure that the energy
right.
is transferred properly.
Right. So it semiconducts, and here we are needing lipid insulation. Is that correct?
What was the last word you said?
we need tremendous insulation because
right.
of where we are being placed now relative to the amount of the electromagnetic spectrum that we're being exposed to, that we need
right.
tremendous amounts of insulation and our conversation that is projected to everyone. Definitely, if it's not causing this gene to just really become dormant, it's going to just shut it down. And I don't think anyone has ever looked at what this whole conversation has done biologically and genetically to every person. So, you know, whether your TYR gene is already diminished in function, which is why you have what we call melanin recessive skin, or if you are heavily melanated, but still in all, that melanin becomes inert, okay, because of your states of consciousness. It's not biologically active. It just happens to be there, which is what I think is the issue with the lipofuscin and where we have these, you know, just accumulations of pigment, but it just seems to really be in the way.
Yeah, well, I guess with the ideas you're sharing, too, if you look at albinism and study that in people who have it, you can really see the alterations in not just the physical abnormalities, but the behavioral abnormalities that exist. So you're right about the mutations that cause the genes to not right to function properly, and there's, like, stress, there's incorrect thinking, there's a host of other scenarios that can cause your cells to then not produce the right chemicals, too much chemical. Alter those receptors, too many receptors, not enough receptors, and if not used, as you said, over time, then that potential thought process or engagement with the universe is gone because the chemical elements are not there anymore. So, yes, things can be reactivated because we know a whole lot about with genetics. There's something called, what, junk DNA. They call it junk because they say it's not doing anything. Well, that might be
right.
all the stuff there that we are no longer activating and utilizing.
Well, that's definitely a potential, and I also think that because of our states of consciousness, that information cannot be processed in an environment with this kind of neuropeptide saturation, because I believe that our higher sensory perceptive capabilities, where we're naturally telepathic, where we can naturally send and receive information, where we're naturally telekinetic, that those genes literally are repressed because we've decided that, you know, you can't do anything much with the mind. That, I think, was the limiting side of the industrial era, that, you know, everything had to be built totally with the body. Okay, we don't want you to think about it. Just a few groups of people are allowed to think. You just repetitively do this one thing or two things or whatever else, et cetera.
Right.
And never thought about that, you know, okay, well, we can get it done, but I can levitate it.
Right.
Okay, telekinesis. But, of course, if all of that information and that perception of yourself has definitely been stripped away, then those genes that allow you to have that capability go into an arrested state, and they literally over time are going to look like scrambled eggs, I'd imagine, because they have even lost their significant definition for hundreds of years not being utilized.
You went too fast for me. Are you telling me that's why we can't build pyramids anymore?
Yes, I am.
Wow. That's pretty deep.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. And because of the type of communication that we've received from institutions, religious, political, and social, about who we are, what we need to do, et cetera, that our state of consciousness has shut all that down. Because if you're told that you're nothing unless you go to an institution who has a script and a program for you, and that, you know, if you do well, now you have a new identity and that you're really somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, you know, you really are not a very nice person, and so you need to come to this institution as often as possible and sit here and contemplate and, you know, think about forgiving yourself for just being born. Many of these institutions tell people that. and that over time, when you die, okay, you may be forgiven and allowed to be in a place that's going to treat you much better.
Right.
And as we now know, that the human body was built to live indefinitely. So we've got cells that have been living without the consciousness that created them for scores of years in a very, very, as you say, sparse environment, like Molly, okay? I consider a petri dish a sparse environment, okay,
right.
But these cells are, you know, their needs are being met. They get water, carbohydrates, fats, and, you know, minerals, and they're just kicking right along. So we know that this body has incredible capability, and we're very much lagging with having a consciousness that can really innately activate all of this software that is available, literally. So it's like, you know, having a child on a computer that's highly advanced, and, you know, about all they can do is just punch on the keys, et cetera. They're not even able to make sense out of any particular rhythm of what they do. And it looks like we're there, and I'm concerned, and that's why I thought this discussion was so important today for us, Dr. Moore, that perhaps our playing into that this is a melanin, non-melanin issue is very dangerous at this time when we need melanin, I don't care who you are, to be able to deal with the environment so that what genes you do have that appear to be relatively healthy, that you won't destroy them because you don't have enough melanin production to protect them.
Right.
And I was saying, now, that is just really sci-fi, but is this also a means of creating a huge epidemic of disorders and imbalances by continuously pulling all these people into this issue of misconduct and constantly hanging the fact that it's a melanin, non-melanated issue? Okay, the issue is, you know, forget what color they were, whether they had chlorophyll pigment or, you know, rhodopsin in blue-violet. The key here is to take someone and have a gun and use it against someone who definitely was totally unarmed is an issue, and under what circumstances did this really occur? That's the issue. But I thought that when they really start bringing the melanin issue in the face of our need to have to deal with this change in temperature and day light exposure, et cetera, that now we're getting ready to see some real changes in the body that medicine is not going to be able to handle, because they're still struggling and just comprehending that melanin literally is the control factor in all of the major systems of the body. Modern medicine is still struggling with that. They have yet to understand the importance of assaying melanin production and melanin activity in every patient that comes in. I mean, if you knew, less like you and I know, that if this is modulating all of the systems in the body, I don't care what disorder they come in with, you would want to have a standard profile of what melanin is doing, because that's going to answer you right there. If it's underactive, et cetera, inappropriate, you know, MSS, MSH, et cetera, then you know immunity is going to be jeopardized. So, yeah, we're going to see chronic inflammation, chronic infestations, et cetera. And so the key is not to continuously give anti-inflammatory drugs or antibiotics or antifungals, but to figure out what is causing this inappropriate excretion of melanin-stimulating hormone.
Right. And you know, that whole issue
is never approached.
Yeah. You've served as a medical doctor in the hospital setting. You've seen how standards are not being utilized, not even being considered, or they just group everybody in the same, you know, no matter what ethnicity you are, given the same drugs, same doses, and that may not be the case. You know, I have an excellent example of the whole issue of this absorption piece and what we have in our bodies. I had my physical exam, and my vitamin D levels are always at the very low end of the spectrum, according to the standards that are out. Okay, I play tennis all the time, and I'm outside. I take cod liver oil plus omega-3 fatty acids. Guess what?
So
my vitamin D levels are always low.
Right.
So what I'm saying to you is at this moment, those standards may not be for us, but they do relate to a lot of prostate cancer with black men because they say they have low levels of what? Vitamin D in the body, which is coming from, you know, the sun as a source. But the standards, you're right, are very important.
Well, this is one of my crusades, is to finally educate enough of the general public to demand that their ethnicity, that their level of melanin production be honored in an health or disease evaluation, and to ask that, since they have to pay for it, it's like, okay, you're going to charge my insurance, but are you able to really assess me? Okay, I'm melanin dominant, which means that obviously the amount of hormones associated with that, vitamin D levels are always going to be low in melanated individuals. Why? Because vitamin D is one of the main components of the melanin biopolymer. So it's not going to be available in the bloodstream.
It's being utilized, you know.
It's already a part of the melanin biopolymer in every cell. It's not going to be just floating around in the blood because it's being held in place because it's working. So, of course, when you draw the blood, it's going to be lower as opposed to a melanin recessive individual. And so this has been part of the problem that has been established, is that the standard that I've identified that most hospitals use as a delineator for health and illness is based on melanin recessiveness. And that's fine, but the client should know and be told what the standard is so that they can clearly see if this is an institution that can service them. So if they let the individual know that, you know, our standard is for melanin recessive individuals, then that individual who is heavily melanin dominant knows that this is not a place that can assist me. And I use this in my book as an example that, you know, if Henry Ford decided to build a hospital for himself, what would be the standard that he would basically want to finance? And obviously, if he's hoping that his family line, et cetera, will be able to have a hospital that take care of them, it would be a melanin recessive standard. But when we talk about conscientious and honest marketing, that has to be specified. That, you know, we are a hospital, that's true, but our standard is for melanin recessive individuals, and that needs to be written on everything so that people who are not melanin recessive will understand that this, the standard that they're using to assess health and disease, does not fit you. And my greatest concern also is the mirroring and the reproduction of these hospital systems in melanin-dominant countries. If the country is melanin-dominant, then how can we then create a model of a hospital system that creates diagnoses based on diseases that are common in melanin recessive individuals that are based on melanin recessiveness, and that's what they test for. The drugs are tested in melanin recessive environments to determine their level of toxicity, not in melanin dominant environments. So therefore, that model cannot be used as a model in melanin dominant countries. But that is totally ignored, and these hospital systems are set up in these melanin dominant environments of humanity, and they cause tremendous amounts of disease because they are not seeing the individuals for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, I'm writing about this, lecturing about this, et cetera, and is the institution going to change it? Well, we have many, many documents and books, medical apartheid, you know, Clinton, had one of his cabinet members in the book now, you know, they hardly speak about it, where he, because he came under so much fire about medical experimentation in the hospitals in the United States, did a survey himself and really had to apologize. That's why he, you know, the Tuskegee issue and just a lot of other things that he had to apologize for, because the medical facilities here had really moved into just very intensive research on individuals without their permission and just under all kind of circumstances. So this is the biggest travesty that American medicine is going to have to deal with, that they have treated individuals incorrectly, knowing that the amount of melanin throughout their system makes a difference in just about every laboratory study. I was very clear about this when I was in GYN, that the standard level of hemoglobin for a melanin-dominant individual is somewhere between 10.5 to 12, not 12 to 14. Melanin-recessive women, their red blood cell count, healthy for them, is 12 to 14 grams per DL. And so every woman who had hemoglobins of 10.5, 11, et cetera, they would put them on iron. And the form of iron that's being used to supplement or to stimulate red blood cell production is very caustic to the intestines, causes constipation, petechial bleeding throughout the gut, et cetera. And it was, these women were not anemic. But in the research, it was already shown, and I thought it was very interesting, right? The University of Michigan, it had been documented since the early 50s that melanin-dominant variants of the human species would always have lower white blood cell and red blood cell counts. And so every time a melanin-dominant male is told that he has a low white blood cell count, he's exposed to a bone marrow biopsy.
Check this out. In my last two exams of the past 2 years, the exact same thing has come out, white low blood cell count.
Exactly. Yeah, but we don't need a... We don't need all of the immune components floating in the blood, because we know that melanin modulates the immune system. And if the melanin is healthy and is able to survey all of the systems, because it's in all the systems in adequate amounts, there's no need to basically send the boys from the fort out. So the white blood cell count is always going to be lower. But these men would have to be exposed to these horrendous bone marrow biopsies. And it's right in the scientific data that this is a standard. And that's why I'm saying that I was just amazed that the universities have this documented. Dr. Stanley Gard spent 40 years delineating the biological, physiological differences between variants of the same one race. And that's why he made it very clear that there's no such thing as races. There's only one race, the human race, but there is variants of that. And therefore, we need to honor the standards, and those variants are based on bone density. He documented. He went all through Africa, et cetera, and documented that the melanin-dominant skeletal system is 10 times denser than melanin-recessive individuals, that the muscle mass is 8 times greater. He documented this. And I was like, how could this not be incorporated in our medical schools and used in hospitals that know that they are servicing variants of the human race, melanin recessive, Hispanic, melanin dominant from African, Caribbean origins. The standards are different, and it's been documented. This is nothing new. So if the institutions won't allow their own scientists to support them so that they can give up-to-date, relative, and relevant treatment, then what is the salvation going to be for the customer? And that is the customer being enlightened about themselves. And then from there, they begin to do smart shopping. Yes.
Taking us back to even your original discussion that you raised, that without then the treatments being proper and the chemicals not operating properly, what's going to happen? Genes are turned off. And then you have what may be more cancers developing that hadn't been occurring in the past few years.
Well, Doc, they're telling us we got to be quiet for a minute for the sponsors to talk.
Okay.
So everybody, we'll be right back. You are listening to the Jewel Network. That's Finally Janet with Enlightened Living. This is a Melanology show with Dr. T. Owens Moore and myself, Dr. Jewel, and we are talking about how states of consciousness do affect the activity of one's genes. We'll be right back after this message.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart, by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. An incredible volume of work, Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Greetings. If you just tuned in, welcome. You're listening to the Melanology Hour. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and our co-host, Dr. T. Owens Moore, Tim, as we call him, is here with us, and we've been having a very interesting discussion on our genetic activity relative to our state of consciousness. And we've brought out some very interesting facts that still are not being employed and integrated into our society. And we're at a critical time now where the understanding and the nurturing of one's melanin is extremely important for us to be able to go forward healthfully into the 21st century. So, you know, Dr. Moore is very humble, and he really doesn't, talk about all these wonderful books that he's written, but I tell you, there's two that are very important that I am recommending all of our listeners make sure that you have them in your library and that you must study them. And this is for all of humanity. Whether you are melanin recessive or melanin dominant, you must begin to understand the importance of melanin in your life. So this book, The Science of Melanin, the second edition by T. Owens Moore, very important that you acquire that, and also Dark Matters and Dark Secrets by T. Owens Moore. And you could acquire these at your website. What's your website?
www.zamanipress.com. Zamani is spelled ZAMANIPRESS.com.
Okay, good. And, soon we'll be having these on the e-store and the Jewel Network, too. I'm excited about that because these are just monumental pieces with tremendous references, et cetera. So you can just go ahead and study and reveal all this to yourself so you don't have to have your lip out. And some people pout and they get annoyed and, you know, they always want to go into this racist thing, not understanding that there is no race. There's only variations in the use of the genome that we've been able to identify. Our basic genome is the same in each and every individual. However, the genes you turn on and the genes that are turned off or inert are based on your state of consciousness. And this is so important for you to understand. And I say this because individuals who have had tremendous incidents of skin cancer, MS, Parkinson's disease, et cetera, these are all disorders based on inappropriate activity or inappropriate amounts of melanin. And the gene is sitting right there in every cell of your body. All you have to do is increase its activity. And that occurs with state, with a change in how you think. Now, you know, before you go, I want everybody to know that we had this discussion, Dr. Moore, and I was sharing with you that I see the gene as well as the chromosome as, you know, a huge slide rule, and that it has literally the capability where as you move up and down these storage databases, which is what a chromosome is, which is what also a gene is, that you can literally activate the gene or deactivate it or chronically stimulate it based on consciousness. So, as an example, if a person decides that they should look a particular way, they can literally program that gene or the genes to turn on or turn off chronically to sustain that phenotype. Now, we know what happens with anything that you do in that manner is that you eventually wear it out. And so if you really think that, you know, you should have black skin and woolly hair, or that if you should have white skin and straight blonde hair, et cetera, to lock in on those genes indefinitely wears them out. And so therefore, obviously, with the diminution of those genes and you still haven't changed your consciousness, your perception of how you think that you should look, regardless of the environment stimulation, okay, regardless of whether that's in your best interest for you to perceive that you need to look that way, you bring about your own demise because you actually, it's almost like taking and, you know, setting fire to particular genes and literally bringing them into a totally autolytic state so that the gene isn't even there anymore. And because you have repressed so many other facets of the gene, you don't even have a composite of genetic activity active to regenerate it. So when you think about it, and I think about, for example, individuals who've migrated from the north back to Africa, and obviously because of the minimal stimulation environmentally, because of minimal sun, melanin stimulation is low. And then with the perception of believing that they are to always present themselves with melanin. Recessive skin and hair color, then they go to an environment that is very high and intense sunlight of the entire electromagnetic spectrum, and they find that they don't do well, that they're not able to tolerate the heat where everybody else is walking around, you know, clothed and whatever else and really has no problems, and they can't tolerate the heat. The skin basically is not able to handle the heat, nor can the body dissipate it. And so, therefore, they normally have to create an artificial environment to live in, or they have to depart that environment for X amount of time to recover. Now, they were created from the same source. The very, very melanin-dominant individual that's standing right there in front of them in the heart of Africa comes from the same source that they do. So why is it that the individual who now is coming into a new environment would not give themselves permission to adapt to the environment? The TYR gene is there. So without thinking that you're supposed to look a particular way all the time, having a neutral attitude about that, moving into an environment that would definitely stimulate more melanin production would naturally happen to you. And these people then appropriately would become quite brown to be able to stay in that environment, and vice versa. And vice versa. And I think that it's very interesting that we see lower life forms, they allow that to happen. They go to different places, different environments. Whatever it takes for them to thrive in that environment, they make sure that that happens. I mean, it's amazing when I read about the group of fish. And if there's not enough females, then basically some of the males then actually change their gender. change their gender so they can multiply. Now, that's really incredible that you can move from being a male to a female at will based on your own thinking. You don't have to have transsexual surgery or anything.
Did they call on the cell phone to do that?
I beg your pardon?
Instead of email, did that? Did they, you know, they did it by whatever's going on with the way they communicate. And that's the way
exactly.
We can operate, you know.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's amazing, so that the species can continue. And I'm like, that is amazing to think that we, for whatever reason, have decided that we should look a particular way all the time, not recognizing that we're burning our genes out. Because if that's not the best phenotype for the environment and for what we need to achieve, why would you press the genes to function in a particular way when it's totally inappropriate? What do you say, Dr. Moore? What say you?
I say we closing up on this hour. Isn't it supposed to be over at 8? Have we got more time to share with the people? Because
well,
there's some books out there that we can recommend to read.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, go ahead. Some more books because, you know, yes, it is. It's time for us to go. But there's important concepts.
Well, there's a book called The Synaptic Self by Joseph Ledoux. Some people might enjoy reading because it does talk about how the brain can change. It talks about emotion.
Yeah.
Now our, you know, brains become who we are. And it snaps nothing but the moment that area between our neurons that communicates, when that changes, guess what? Your thought changes, your mind changes. It's from a little teeny piece of information. So
right.
Again, those pieces of information can what also trigger the brain to be, again, create mutations or create enhancements. And right now, as you have spoke about and as we're trying to tell the community, keep your mind right, keep your thinking right, and your consciousness will change in the right direction.
Wonderful. What's the author's last name again?
Ledoux, L-E-D-O-U-X, Joseph Ledoux.
Okay. Well, Dr. Moore, it's always wonderful. You always bring the science with you. Thank you for coming. We'll have you.
All right.
Love you, everybody. Thank you for listening. And don't forget tomorrow, Truth of Consequence 2011. Dr. Blair. Bye-bye.